Thanks to everyone for coming out this Saturday evening in Salt Lake City. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today our topic is, predictably enough, Happy New Year, 2015. Share a story with you. Girl went to college, she hated it, but she told herself, if I can ever get out of college and get married and have children, I know that then I'll finally be able to enjoy my life. So she stuck with it. She went to classes every day, finally graduated from college. She got married. She had children. She discovered that children are a lot of work. So she told herself, if I can just get these kids raised and out of the house, then I'll be able to relax and really enjoy life. But about the time the kids were entering high school, her husband said, guess what? We don't have enough money to send our kids to college. I guess you'll have to get a job. Well, she didn't want to, but she knew he was right, and they needed the money, so she went to work, and she hated it. But she told herself, if I can just get these kids through college and get all the bills paid, then I can quit work and really enjoy life. Finally, the last child graduated from college, and all the bills were paid, so she walked into her employer's office and said, I quit. He said, oh, you don't want to quit now. If you stay with it just for another 8 years, you'll have a nice fat pension for the rest of your life. She thought, well, I don't want to work another 8 years, but there's all that money there, and I really can't turn down the opportunity. So she drudged through another 8 years in the office. Finally, she and her husband retired at the same time. Then they spent their remaining years sitting down on the swing on their front porch, looking through the family picture album and reminiscing about the good old days. Someone said, life is what happens to you while you're making plans to do something else. It's easy to get stuck in a rut, to go into another year coasting on autopilot, expecting the same things, the same problems, same struggles, same income, same job, same level of joy. But maybe just tonight, we can speak some faith into you which will ignite something inside, which will inspire you to do something different this year. First of all, we're going to put it out there that God is a God of increase. It's not a God of scarcity. It's not a God of lack. It's not a God that if you put Him first place, that you're going to just barely be squeaking by. Get an attitude that 2015 is going to be an exceptional year. It's going to be a year of surprises where Krishna amazes you with His goodness. A year that you accomplish your dreams, overcome obstacles, and see breakthroughs in areas that you've been struggling for a long time. It's interesting because most people that make New Year's resolution put the burden on themselves to change, to be more disciplined in their finances, lose weight. But our prayer is, Lord, help us use the 8,760 hours of this year in the wisest way that we possibly can, is to bring glory, to bring praise to You, and to put You first place, recognizing that we cannot bring about changes ourselves. It's only the Lord within the heart. If we put Him first place and prioritize Him, He will bring those changes about from within our heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Along with the chanting, our wishes for you in 2015 are enough happiness to keep you sweet, enough trials to keep you strong, enough sorrow to keep you human, enough hope to keep you happy, enough failure to keep you humble, enough success to keep you eager, enough friends to give you comfort, enough wealth to meet your needs, enough enthusiasm to make you look forward to tomorrow, and enough determination to make each day better than the day before. Get ready. Krishna is about to release His favor in a greater way. You've sowed the seeds. Get ready for the harvest. Expect Krishna's favor. Let go of tiny dreams, little plans. This is going to be an above and beyond, an exceptional year. Some of you have been in difficulties, but those winds which have been blowing against you and holding you back in 2015, they've shifted, they're changing directions, and instead of blowing against you, they're going to blow for you. Instead of holding you back, they're going to propel you explosively forward. We're speaking victory into your future today. These aren't just words to make us feel good. They're words of life, words of restoration, words of healing, words which are full of shakti or power from the Most High Lord. That's why when you hear them, something will ignite on the inside. Prabhupada came in 1965 to the United States of America, an elderly man, 70 years old. Prabhupada had faith, Prabhupada had confidence, and Prabhupada had indomitable hope. He went amongst the hippies and bohemians and musicians amongst the Lower East Side in New York, and he recognized that even though they were strung out on all kinds of drugs and they were spouting philosophy like turn on, tune in, and drop out, he still recognized that they were children of God, they were from God, and that they had dormant within them the seeds of greatness. No sooner had he picked up these itinerants from the parks and the streets of New York, then he was making plans to send them as missionaries all over the world. These guys could barely tie their shoes, and Prabhupada was spinning a globe saying Brahmananda will go to Africa, Sudama will go to Japan, Bhagavan will go to Europe, Ridayananda will go to South America. He was bearing witness to the spirit within them, recognizing that each and every one of us, we were born not just to be average, to be mediocre, but to rise higher, not to be victims, but to live lives of victory. Let's rise up and say, yes, this is for me. 2015 is going to be my year, my family's year. I'm stepping into a new season. I'm putting on a new attitude. I'm enlarging my vision. I'm going into this year with a new fire. I'm going to get Krishna's favor. His favor is based on two things. Obedience, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. First thing. And the second thing is timing. When it's your season, you cannot let it pass you. You cannot sit back. When it's your season, you have to recognize the timing and step into it. I heard about the baby locusts. When they're born, their wings are very, very small in proportion to their body. They can't fly, but with their long legs, they can jump 200 times their body length. So they bide their time. They show patience, they wait, and then one day they hear the wind whipping up, the wind rustling through the treetops, and they recognize that this is my time to jump. And they jump, recognizing that timing is critical, and they take off and they fly. We also have to be sensitive, and we have to recognize when it is our time. Maybe you've been down for the last few years. Maybe you've been struggling with your health or struggling with your finances. Those thoughts have started to come to you. I'm not sure that I'm ever going to get off the ground. I don't have the windspan. I don't have the talent. I don't have the education. I don't have the connection. I don't have the intelligence. I've made too many mistakes. Your time is coming. There'll be a time when you can jump, you can catch those winds, and Krishna will take you higher than you ever thought possible. Not by your power, but by the breath of Almighty God. When you recognize that God is breathing in your direction, that's when you'll feel the wind beneath your wings. ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, was on the scene in the United States of America since the early 70s. The first Hindu temples in America were ISKCON temples, and they were everywhere. Their emphasis was on distributing books. In due course of time, Hindu communities in various pockets of America thought, why don't we build temples? For 30 or 40 years now, for several decades, there have been magnificent temples being built by the Hindu community of Chicago, Hindu community of Cincinnati, Hindu community of Flushing, New York. ISKCON is still in those sort of buildings from the 70s. We came here in Utah in 1982, and I recognized that for us, the wind was blowing, that this was our season, this was our time. We were not going to let things pass us by. Nilesh Seshachari, who taught at Weber State University, who's passed away, wrote a book about the history of Indians in the state of Utah. Did you know that Indians from the Punjab arrived in Utah as early as 1896? They lived in Cache Valley. They farmed because that's what they'd done in Punjab. Society was somewhat racist in those days. They couldn't marry any Western girls. There were no Indian girls, so they married Mexican girls. And now their grandchildren and great-grandchildren are all well-educated, successful graduates of University of Utah and BYU. But we recognize that Indians had been in the state of Utah for almost 100 years. Still, there was not a single Indian or Krishna temple. We heard the wind rustling in the trees. We also knew it was only a matter of time before the Hindu community itself would get an idea to build their own temple. We had to strike while the iron was hot. We made the announcement that we have plans, we're raising funds, we're gathering momentum to have the first Sanatan Dharma Indian Krishna temple in the state of Utah. We caught that breeze, we got the momentum, we got the support, and the temple opened in June 23rd, 2001 in Spanish Fork, Utah. The first Krishna Hindu temple in the state of Utah. Just 2 years later, the Ganesh temple opened, and shortly after that, the Sikh temple opened as well. We recognized that we had to time our move, to time our jump, to catch advantage of what was happening. Similarly, you also may need to get out of your rut. You may need to get out of your comfort zone. You may need to recognize that what hasn't worked for you needs to be relinquished. Quit focusing on what you don't have. Focus on what Krishna has and what Krishna wants you to do. Krishna is our name for God. He's all powerful. He controls the universe. He opens doors that no man can shut. If you're doing what Krishna wants done, very difficult things like opening a temple in, of all places, Spanish Fork, Utah, can become very easy. Don't ask me how we did it. I don't know. But I do know I was right in the middle of it, and I have no clue how it happened. I do know that it was what Krishna wanted, and when you're doing what Krishna wants, difficult things become easy. On the flip side, if you're not doing what Krishna wants, then easy things become very, very difficult. Don't miss your season. Don't go into another year expecting the same old, same old. Don't waste another year feeling sorry for yourself, stuck in a rut, when you really know that you should be out there stretching your faith. In 2015, why don't you pitch your tent instead of in the land of self-pity? Why don't you pitch your tent in the land of hope? Why don't you move out of the nothing good ever happens to me subdivision, vacate Mediocrityville, leave Limitsville, pack up and move to the land of more than enough, the land of far and beyond favor, recognizing that Krishna, all things are possible. Here it is said, the lotus feet of Krishna are so wonderful that whoever takes shelter under them immediately becomes purified. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You cannot chant these divine, powerful names of God without recognizing that what's in front of you is much greater than what's behind you. We all have in our vehicles big windshields and small rear view mirrors. The reason for that is that what's out in front is much more important than what's behind us. The victories of your past are going to pale in comparison with the victories that Krishna has in your future. Krishna is saying, you haven't seen anything yet. You think you've got a good family, you think you've got a good job, you think you've got a good house, you think you're blessed. Believe me, Krishna hasn't even begun to bless you yet. He has mind-boggling things in your future. We have struggled for many, many years, probably about 30 years, with help at the Krishna Temple in Spanish Fork, Utah. We had a lot of projects, we had a lot of facility, but as decade after decade went by, we realized that in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, most of the mature, responsible devotees were already committed somewhere else. They'd been serving in Atlanta for 15 years or serving in Chicago for 20 years. And many of the devotees that came to Utah were itinerant. They were just fair weather devotees and stay for a little while. And, oh, it's too cold or it's too hot or I don't like the Mormons or, you know, my mother got sick. I've got to go take care of my mother. And about 4 or 5 years ago, we were just feeling a little frustrated. Where are we going to get help from? We wanted to do festivals of colors. We wanted to plant an organic garden. We wanted to do so much more than we were doing. I forget how it came about, but we found out about certain programs, the Worldwide Opportunity for Organic Farmers, Help Exchange, and Work Away. These are website-based programs where you can post a profile page and set yourself up as a host. There are members all over the world. They can check into your profile page, see that what you have to offer, and they can connect with you on the basis of working 4 hours a day, 6 days a week in exchange for room and board. We started that program about 4 years ago, and boy, the winds changed. From holding us back, all those programs we wanted to do, but with two people we couldn't do them, it's come to the point that we're every day racking our brains to figure out how to engage 5, 6, 8, 10 young people, intelligent people, vegetarians, non-smokers, non-drinkers, college graduates. We're come to the point that we're racking our brains every day to find things for them to do. We've got festivals of colors going on all over the Southwest. We've had organic gardens just exploding for the last 3 years. Krishna's winds blew in our directions. You also may have been dealing with a tough situation that's been going on for 10 or 20 years. You're starting to despair that it will ever turn around. When Krishna wants to, he can turn it on a dime. By this time tomorrow, if Krishna wants, you can be out of debt. By this time tomorrow, that errant teenager could come back to you with contrition. By this time tomorrow, you could meet that boy or girl of your dreams. Krishna has blessings that he's kept ready for you. The question is, are you open and ready to receive them? Are you expecting God's favor? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Do you believe that 2015 is going to be your year? If we keep God first place, his blessings will chase us down and overtake us. You'll be astonished, amazed, and surprised at what Krishna has in store for you. Vibhishan, the brother of Ravana, he knew that the winds were blowing against his brother. He advised him not to covet another man's wife, what to speak of coveting the wife of Sri Ramachandra, who is the personality of Godhead. Now, he knew that when Ravana could no longer control his lust, that Ravana went so far as to abduct none other than Sita Devi, Vibhishan knew that the winds were blowing against his brother Ravana, that his brother Ravana was doomed, that he did not have much longer to prosper. But what surprised Vibhishan, he wasn't surprised that Ravana lost his kingdom, he lost his army, he lost his generals, his city was destroyed, none of that surprised Bibishan. But what surprised Bibishan is that after Ravana was laid low in the dust, having been deprived of his life, Ram gave the entire kingdom to Bibishan, which he never expected. Imagine Ravana scheming and killing and fighting and committing crimes. It says that Ravana's chest was crisscrossed with the scars from hundreds and hundreds of battles. He worked for the kingdom. He foamed at the mouth. He committed crimes for the kingdom. He ended up being leveled into the dust without having done anything except having faith, having a vision to the future, and trusting in the hand of God. For no other reason, Bibishan stepped into the entire kingdom of his brother. He had no idea that that level of favor was stored up for him. God is a God of surprises. Don't ever rule out surprises. One good break, one phone call, meeting the right person, everything can change. I don't know about you, but I feel an excitement in my spirit. Things line up in such a way that you could never, ever imagine. Let's start getting excited. Prabhupada says here, one should not be impatient in discharging devotional service, but should take instructions from the spiritual master and execute them with patience, depending upon the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The successful execution of Krishna conscious activities requires both patience and confidence. What is confidence? The devotee thinks that Krishna will surely protect me and give me help for the successful execution of devotional service. This is called confidence. You're planning ordinary, Krishna's planning extraordinary. You're planning survive, Krishna's planning thrive. Get your hopes up. Be a person after Krishna's own heart. The King David in the Bible said, "Surely, surely goodness and righteousness shall follow me all the days of my life." That word surely means confidence. Krishna says, if you become conscious of me, you will cross over all the obstacles of conditioned life. It was Arjuna's confidence in Krishna that enabled him to cross over the dangerous ocean of the field of Kurukshetra. Get your hopes up. Someone said, hope is the ability to hear the music of the future. Faith is the ability to dance to it today. Faith and hope. The day that you quit being excited about your future, that's the day that you quit living. In this society today, there's lots of people breathing, but they're not necessarily alive. They're existing, but they're not really living. You've heard it said, oh yeah, he died at 45, but they buried him at 75. What happened? What happened? At 45, he quit dreaming. At 45, he quit expecting. We're trying to bring some people back to life here tonight. Believe me, you wouldn't be alive now unless Krishna had more victories in your future. People may have pushed you down. They may have discouraged you. But that dream is still there with your name on it. I heard about two talented young boys a couple hundred years ago in Europe. Their names were Albert and Albrecht Dürer. They were so poor, they couldn't afford to go to art school. Both of them immensely talented, but they could not both afford the tuition to go to the Nuremberg School of Art. They flipped a coin. Albert lost the coin toss. He went and he worked in the mines to earn money to pay for his brother, Albrecht, to go to art school, where he excelled. He graduated from art school, and right away he started making an income from his paintings. He got his brother out of the mines. He said, now I can pay for you to go to school. Albert said, it's too late. I've been working in the mines. My lungs have become blackened with coal. My brain has been affected, and look at my hands. Every single bone in my hands at one point or another in the mines has been broken. They're crippled. They're arthritic. I cannot even pick up a brush. what to speak of paint. No, brother, for me, it is too late. His brother Albrecht became a famous painter, but of all the famous paintings of Albrecht, his most famous painting is called Hands. They are the hands of his brother Albert. He dedicated his pièce de résistance, his greatest work of art, to the sacrifice as an homage to his brother. Some of you may be thinking, it's over, it's too late, there's too much water under the bridge, but I'm here today to tell you, it's not over until God says it's over. Now do your part, not for something in the sweet by and by. Release your hopes at the beginning of this year, 2015. Recognize that we ourselves cannot make things happen. But when we believe, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, that activates the power of Almighty God. That child you've been praying about, it's not going to be another 20 years. That child's coming back this year. That addiction you've been struggling with, you're not going to struggle with that addiction another 20 years. You're going to get clean and sober this year. That business that you wanted to start, you're not going to start it down 10, 20 years from now. You're going to start that business now. That book that you wanted to write, not 10, 20 years from now. You're going to write that book this year. Say, thank you, Lord, in advance that this year I'm going to meet the person of my dreams. This year I'm going to see my health turn around. This year I'm going to come out of debt. The greatest lie is that what's facing us is permanent. The greatest lie is things will always be this way. They've been this way so long. I've been single for so long, I'll never meet the boy or girl of my dreams. I've been sick for so long, I'll never be healthy. I've been in debt for so long, I'll never be out of debt. If it was going to happen, it would have already happened by now. Don't believe those thoughts. Because it hasn't happened in the past doesn't mean that God's not on the throne, that it's not still stored up for you, that it doesn't still have your name on it. Lord Chaitanya appeared 500 years ago, and his mission, self-stated, Prithivite Achejito Nagaradigram Sarvacha Pachayave Moina. He said that the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari, would spread to every town and village in the world. And he started out in Navadvip, Bengal. The Hindu people there were inspired. They went out in the streets. They chant. After so much repression and so much cruelty by the Muslim rulership, they were now getting their fire back. There was a revival of spirit, of consciousness. They had some confidence. Just when the Sankirtan movement was beginning to spread and blossom, the caste-conscious Brahmins went to the Muslim and they said, you better stop this. If these people get more and more confident, before you know it, you won't be able to rule them. There'll be revolts, there'll be revolutions. Your best option is to stop it right now, ruthlessly. Kazi listened to their advice, he got his soldiers, he tracked down the Sankirtan devotees who were playing their drums and dancing in the street, and he went up and he smashed the clay madanga. He said, I prohibit any more chanting of Hare Krishna in my state. If any of you come out tomorrow chanting, the best thing, I won't even tell you what the worst thing is, but the best thing that will happen to you is that we'll pour water on you, we'll stuff meat in your mouth, and we'll make you a Muslim. That's the best thing. You don't even want to hear the worst thing. He said, I dedicate all of my natural power, I dedicate all the power of government to keep you people down. Don't think that you're going to create a revival and uprising out of this. And it looked like before it even got started, the Sankirtan movement was over. How powerful was the Muslim government and how ruthless they were. Yet that was not the end of the Sankirtan movement. That was the beginning of the Sankirtan movement. When they told Lord Chaitanya that the secular power, the natural power, had vowed to oppose the Sankirtan movement, Lord Chaitanya said, we'll see about that. That's what the natural power says, but now I'm going to invoke the supernatural power of God. That evening, no less than 100,000 people marched on the Qazi's house with hundreds of drums and hundreds of cartels and hundreds of torches, made a thunderous sound. So numerous were they that all of the Qazi's generals and armies and bodyguards, they all fled off into the hills, and the Qazi himself ran up to the second story of his house and hid under the bed. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. He called him down. He assured him, "I mean you no harm." After a very cordial discussion, the Qazi, far from stopping the Sankirtan movement, promised to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that "I will never, nor will my sons, nor my grandsons, nor will this local government ever again lift a finger to stop the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." Fast forward about almost 500 years to Melbourne, Australia. I was a devotee in Melbourne, Australia. That's where I first became a devotee. The city council in probably about 1972 decided that they wanted the Hare Krishna chanters and the Hare Krishna book distributors off the streets of Melbourne. An old law that had never been exercised. They got this old law, they dusted it off, that you cannot exchange funds in a public place. They came out, they would issue a citations. Several times a week, the Black Mariah, the paddy wagon, would pull up. We'd all be put into the paddy wagon. We'd be taken to the jail. In the jail, the men were in one wing, the women were in another wing. So in the men's wing, we'd chant, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." And then down the hall and around from the women's side, it would all come back to us like that. The Melbourne City Council had over 500 citations. I think myself, I had 65. They spent $30,000 trying to get the Hare Krishnas off of the streets. Of all those 500 different citations, they took the one they felt they were most likely to get a conviction on. And they took that to court with their best lawyers. We had the Australian Civil Liberties Union defending us. The city council lost that test case and had to drop every one of the 500 other cases. The next day in the newspaper, in the Melbourne Age, the headline said, "Hare Krishnas win their lawsuit. City council wastes $30,000. That's nothing to sing about." Recently, when the city of Melbourne celebrated its centennial, its 100th anniversary of the city being founded, that same city council that tried to stop the Sankirtan movement invited the devotees to be the feature performers for the 100th centennial celebration of the city of Melbourne. As we begin the year 2015, thank the Lord now for the surprising, amazing places that He's going to take you in the next 12 months. Don't wait to see what He's going to do and then believe. Faith is about believing and then seeing it. I'm asking you to get your hopes up. Start celebrating now what Krishna is about to do. Start acting like 2015 is your year. Start walking like 2015 is your year. Start thinking that way. Start dressing like 2015 is your year. Start believing that 2015 is your year. No more excuses. Be a believer and not a doubter. Get up every morning and announce it by faith. "Lord, I want to thank you that this year is my year. I want to thank you that you're going to surprise me. Thank you that I'm going to see promises come to pass, that things are shifting in my favor." If you'll activate Krishna's power in this way, I believe that 2015 will be the prelude to an above and beyond future, an exceptional life this time around, and the next life you'll go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much for your kind attention. If you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare.